The Geek Couch podcasts are brought to you by Charming Beard Coffee. Go to charmingbeard.com and order yourself a bag of their small batch coffee. And don't worry, you don't need a beard to enjoy the coffee.
Oh, great! Real bullets!
Smoke and mirrors, guys! Welcome to the movie factory.
How's that for a slice of fried gold?
I know who I am! I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude!
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Geek Couch Collector's Edition, episode 24. We're talking about Blu-ray releases for November 27th, 2012.
Well, you slime-eating dogs, you scum-sucking pigs, you sons of a motherless goat.
I'm your Huckleberry.
I was reading online, and I came across this article. It's at thenextweb.com, and it says that researchers are finding that Mega Upload, the shutdown, has actually affected the box office negatively, which is fairly, you know, you would think that wouldn't be the case, but I've actually ran across articles like this before, that pirates, you know, people who pirate movies or whatever, they're also the biggest spenders. The article says, therefore, it shouldn't surprise too many people to learn that shutting down Mega Upload earlier this year had a negative effect on box office revenues. Now, this didn't have any effect on any major box office movies, like any like kind of blockbuster films. It kind of affected smaller, independent-type films. It says here, in this paper... here's the quote from the findings here. It comes from a paper titled Piracy and Movie Revenues, Evidence from Mega Upload. And you can originally find this on torrentfreak.com. It came from last month, conducted by the Munich School of Management. It says, in this paper, we make use of a quasi-experiment in the market for illegal downloading to study movie box office revenues. Exogenous variation comes from the unexpected shutdown of the popular file hosting platform MegaUpload.com on January 19th, 2012. The estimation strategies based on a quasi-difference-in-difference approach, we compare box office revenues before and after the shutdown to a matched control group of movies unaffected by the shutdown. So they analyze weekly data from about 1,300 movies in 49 countries over a five-year period. And then here's basically what they found. In all specifications, we find that the shutdown had a negative, yet in some cases insignificant, effect on box office revenues. Not all movies were negatively affected. For blockbusters shown on more than 500 screens, this sign is positive and significant, depending on the specification. So I'll post a link to this article. It is fairly interesting, and... you know, I'm not really a proponent of pirating, although I did talk about the Star Wars despecialized, but that's kind of a different scenario. So, you know, fairly interesting, and something that I think studios don't really think about is that people who pirate are also, they also do spend money. So, you know, interesting. You can have your opinions about pirating and stuff like that, but it's a fairly interesting study, and we'll see throughout the years. I'm sure they'll be doing more studies on pirating and the effect. And I personally really don't think that pirating affects the movie industry that much, because kind of going to movies is more of a social gathering type of thing. I do know and have seen it affect the music industry for sure. So anyway, fairly interesting article, and you know, kind of keep an eye on it. For what it's worth. So I really, you know, looking at this, I don't really think they have a whole hell of a lot to really go on as far as any specific findings. And like I said, with the music industry, definitely shows that piracy does affect industries negatively. I mean, that whole industry is upside down right now, thanks to the spread of the internet and how easy it is to get music. But music is a little bit different digitally, in my opinion, because music's more of a mobile medium. You can kind of put some MP3s on a MP3 player and go on. Whereas movies is a little bit different. As far as my use, I never really use digital copies. I'm always home on my couch or whatever when I want to watch something. So, and then of course going to the movies is a whole different experience. So we'll see how this affects it. It's nice that there's actually people trying to study the effects of piracy. But yeah, interesting article. It's actually getting some shit in the comments section. People don't like it. So, I don't know. We'll see how this goes. You can go to thenextweb.com. I'm sure it's there. I'll have the link to this article on the show notes. All right, so move into this week's releases for November 27th, 2012.
Time to musk up.
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works every time.
All right. There's actually, as far as I can tell, unless I have the wrong information, no catalog releases this week. So that's fairly interesting, because usually there's at least some movies that they pull out of the catalog, so the studios. But and you know, I forgot to mention how did everyone's Black Friday go? I know that I was actually really, really good, and I think I only spent under $20. I got Hugo for $12, and I got Dumb and Dumber for $3. So came out pretty good on Black Friday, and the whole weekend's crazy because you see just all these links to all these cheap movies, and I don't have a bunch of money just sitting around for me to buy all this stuff, and the stuff that I actually really want. So what I'm going to do next year, I'm going to see if this works. We'll try an experiment. I'm going to save throughout the year, a little bit each month. And when I get around to November, I'll actually have money sitting aside that I can spend. And I'm trying to be a responsible adult here, people. I don't have, I'm not going to fill up my credit card like I have in the past on Black Friday weekends. So I'm turning a new leaf, trying to be responsible with my money. With these movies, but a lot of great deals, a lot of great Criterion deals. It's like, damn it, of course, this weekend. I'm pretty proud of myself this Black Friday weekend that I was actually pretty good and spent minimal, even though I wanted to buy a whole bunch. So frustrating. All right, let's talk about this week's releases here. Some good ones, and it's going to be hard for me to save money. See, Black Friday takes all our money, and then they release some decent Blu-rays this week. First up, John Hillcoat, one of my favorite directors, has a new movie coming out on Blu-ray dealing with 1930s Prohibition. It's called Lawless.
You'd like to come for rob me sometime.
I know who you are.
Oh yeah, who's that?
One of them Bond Ramp boys. My daddy says you boys are the worst thing ever to hit Franklin.
You tell your daddy I said hi.
We got a chance to make a good stack of money here.
Pure corn whiskey, the White Latin.
Come on, Forrest, see you dance.
I ain't dancing for you two.
Come on.
It's impressive.
I respect you, Bond Rest.
You want any more of this stuff?
As much as you can bring me.
That's $2,000, minus my commission.
Look at you, swanning around like you're Al Capone.
They say in town you're looking for someone to help out around the place. Well, Mr. Bondrin, do I get the job?
Seems you've been involved in certain illegal activities.
There's a new special deputy. Been brought in from the city. Wants to work it out so everybody can do some business.
That's all.
I'm the one who's going to make your life real difficult from now on if you don't toe the line, country boy.
I'm a Bondrin. We don't lay down for nobody.
Now, right now, it holds a 67% on Rotten Tomatoes. I know it got some mixed reviews when it came out. And most of John Hillcoat's, I think, from the movie-going public, they're not well-received just because the kind of director he is. And I think this is probably his most commercial-type movie, starring Tom Hardy, Guy Pearce, Shia LaBeouf, Gary Oldman, and others. Now, Lawless is the true story of the infamous Bondurant brothers, bootlegging siblings who made a run for the American dream in Prohibition-era Virginia. And Rotten Tomatoes says, in this epic gangster tale inspired by true life events of author Matt Bondurant's family in his novel The Wettest County in the World, the loyalty of the three brothers is put to a test against the backdrop of the nation's most notorious crime wave. It's released by Weinstein, and it is out this week. Interested in checking this out. This is going to be one that I'm going to rent before I buy it. I'm sure it's going to be on Vudu. On my Xbox, I get all my movies through Vudu, and it's actually pretty decent quality. I need to up my bandwidth to get the full 1080p, but I'm going to check this out, and I'll get back to you guys on this. Excited to see it, and we'll see. We'll see how this does, and I'm sure the Blu-ray is going to look great. It's one of those that's going to be on my list once it drops in price. You know, I'll probably be grabbing this. All right, next up, one of my favorite animated movies of the year, Paranorman, gets a Blu-ray release this week.
He's around here somewhere. So does everyone come back as a ghost?
No. My grandma told me it's usually people who still have stuff to figure out, or sometimes it's the ones who died suddenly or in a bad way. Bub?
Is he there? How's he look?
Good. He's happy to see you.
Who's a good boy, huh? Good boy. Can he feel if I pet him?
Yeah, I guess.
Bubby wubby boo. Mm.
That's not his chin.
Now, this is one of those that is getting a bunch of releases here. We got the DVD release. We have the two-disc combo pack with Blu-ray and DVD. Digital copy, ultraviolet. And then you have the 3D version as well. And let's see here, the Blu-ray version, $22.99 on Amazon, and then the 3D version, $27.99. I hear the 3D was actually pretty good. I didn't see it in 3D, so I'm probably going to be grabbing the 2D version if there's no difference in the special features. So, got a couple things to choose from. Like I said, one of my favorite animated movies this year. I took the kids to it, and they really loved it. I mean, I'm surprised at the dark humor that was in the movie. There's a few times where I was like, "Oh man, they're really going places with this," but I really loved it. The kids loved it, and Cody Smith McPhee is the voice of Norman, and you know it's from the makers of Coraline. And it's about a boy, basically, you know, it's basically kind of like, the kid from Sixth Sense. Like, what if he actually saw, like, friendly ghosts? You know, the plot is he needs to use his paranormal abilities to help save his town from the rise of the undead through a centuries-old curse. So, good stuff. Really great movie. The animation's incredible. It's just really beautiful. Stop-motion animation. And the company that made the movie is Laika. And they, of course, made Coraline. Not the same director, but from the same company. And the animation is just impeccable. And the story itself is great. There's a lot of little nods to, you know, zombie movies and stuff like that. Very well done. So that's a must buy for me. But we'll see. You know, after Black Friday, I promised I would be good. So, but that's out and definitely a must buy. I'd say probably the best animated feature I've seen this year. I mean, even better, but Brave had great animation, but the story was lacking. Paranorman has great stop motion animation and a very clever story. And it kicks, Frank and Weenie's butt as well. Cause Frank and Weenie, although that was, a fun little movie, the plot was just lacking and it kind of got a little tedious near the end. So anyway, Paranorman out this week. All right. Next up, there's a movie. This kind of just came on my radar. This is a 2011 film. It's directed by Douglas Arniokoski, written by Luke Passamore, and it's starring, I think, Dominic Monaghan from Lord of the Rings. He was not top billed on IMDb, which is weird. All right, so this is a 2011. It's called The Day.
Anything?
Claire.
This world has existed for over 10 years now. There's enough death in that first year to fill 100 lifetimes.
I don't like this place at all.
We shouldn't stay here.
We'll salvage what we can from the house. Get the hell out. Oh, my God.
No! No! What happened? What is that ringing?
The bell is a signal.
They are coming.
No, get up there!
Rifle, now!
Are there more?
There will be.
Who are you, huh? Did you bring us into this trap?
You're one of them, isn't that right?
I didn't lead you here.
What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna kill them all.
I fear for all the souls that try to get into this house tonight.
We're in for one hell of a night, y'all.
Look to this day. Yesterday is but a dream.
You said your bullets is a last resort.
This is our last resort.
We're coming at us!
No mercy.
You sure you got enough bullets in that thing for all of us, huh?
Now, the day looks interesting. I haven't really heard a whole lot about it. It's not getting the greatest reviews on IMDb, but then again, I don't really trust IMDb reviews. It has a 5.4 on IMDb. It has a 41 out of 100 on Metacritic. So it's basically a group of five people working to stay alive in a post-apocalyptic future. When they discover what they think is a safe farmhouse, they find themselves fighting to stay alive, basically. I mean, it sounds very generic, so we'll see. It all boils down to how is the action in this film? How does it look? I haven't heard a whole lot about it. Since it's kind of a, looks like straight, I don't know if it's a limited run or straight to DVD, but it's one of those that probably will end up on Netflix Instant very soon. And, you know, looks like a fun B-movie. You know, hopefully it delivers. I mean, it's rated R for strong bloody violence and some nudity. So if it delivers on that stuff, I'm sure people will be forgiving of it, but I haven't heard a whole lot about it. A lot of people say it's dull from what I'm seeing on these comments here on IMDb, but like I said, you can't really trust IMDb too much. So that's The Day. It's out this week, and keep your eyes open on Netflix Instant. It's probably going to come out on Netflix Instant very soon, but it is out on Blu-ray on Amazon. And probably Amazon may be the only place you can find it, unless you have some sort of kind of mom-and-pop shop that actually carries more independent features. All right, a few more here for you. Next up, this is probably the worst-reviewed movie of the year, but it has probably the best poster of the year and actually a pretty damn good trailer. The Apparition is out on Blu-ray this week.
There is a scientific theory that paranormal events are products of the human mind, and ghosts only exist because we believe in them. A team of researchers set out to prove this theory and create a supernatural entity with their minds.
If we can pull this off, we'll prove that anything supernatural can exist when people believe it.
The experiment was a success.
Where's the flashlight?
What is that? What the hell is that?
Get the thing off!
And when I saw this trailer for this, I thought it looked pretty awesome. I was actually pretty excited that this would be coming out. And unfortunately, it has a 4% on Rotten Tomatoes. So not too good. Here's the plot. Years after a student experiment to create a supernatural force goes horribly wrong, young couple Kelly, Ashley Green, and Ben, Sebastian Stan, begin to experience a terrifying, unexplained presence in their new house. In desperation, they enlist the help of a paranormal specialist, Tom Felton, only to find the apparition may be haunting them, not their home. As the two struggle to save themselves, the presence feeds on their fear, pushing them toward a fate that will make you wish you didn't believe. The Blu-ray is a two-disc, has some special features. You can follow modern-day ghost hunters and witness the real frightening forces that consume their lives. There's a documentary called The Dark Realm of Paranormal. There's another documentary called Haunted Asheville, where a ghost hunter, Joshua Warren, shows you two real-life locations filled with paranormal sightings and bizarre occurrences. The Experiment of the Apparition is another special feature. I mean, it's pretty funny. It's crazy that this is Warner Brothers, that they're putting out so many special features on this thing. The Blu-ray is $19.99, and like I said, horrible, horrible reviews. Let's see if I can find what Rotten Tomatoes here says. It says, The Apparition fails to offer anything original, isn't particularly scary, and offers so little in the way of dramatic momentum that it's more likely to put you to sleep than to thrill you. And So avoid. Avoid. It's an hour and 20 minutes. And like I said, like the poster is pretty badass. It's basically this a girl with all these ghost hands all over her. The poster's pretty awesome, but pretty horrible. I guess only for the curious, I guess. All right, and finally here, things that are releasing on Tuesday, Transformers Prime Season 2 Blu-ray is out this week. Probably my favorite Transformers TV show to come along in a long time. It's actually really, I think it's really good. The animation is pretty great. It's probably the best looking animation so far that I've seen. And, you know, fun stories, kind of keeps in the, keeps with all I loved about the original Transformers cartoon when I was a kid. So glad to see this is out on season two. The first season is out on Netflix Instant, and season two is probably going to be hitting Netflix Instant very soon. I would keep an eye out for that for if you want to watch it. But these are, you know, the Blu-rays, the animation is pretty great, so they're on my list of, to buy one of these days. All right, and we have a couple movies coming out on Friday, November 30th. First one, Barry Sonnenfeld directed Men in Black 3.
Who are we? We are no one.
Our mission is to monitor extraterrestrial activity on Earth.
Flacco! You know you're not supposed to be north of Canal Street.
Who is Flacco?
Just relax, punk. They're looking for me, not you.
Crazy, right? Two grown men talking to the wall, wall talking back. It's a mess. But hey, don't even worry about it.
Now, this is holding a steady 69% on Rotten Tomatoes. I've heard mixed reviews about it. I hear it's better than Men in Black 2, far better than Men in Black 2. But I hear that it still does kind of fall short on the charm of the original movie. I'll definitely be renting this. Of course, starring Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones. Also starring Josh Brolin as a young Agent K. We got some time travel here, people. Emma Thompson's in it, Jermaine Clement. So I hear Josh Brolin is almost worth the price of the admission for his impersonation of Tommy Lee Jones. So I'm interested in renting this. I'll be renting it for sure sometime soon. But that's out on Blu-ray. And I'm sure it's packed with special features, but I didn't do the work to see exactly what special features are on this sucker. But, you know, it's a major release. It'll have a lot on there. All right, and finally, the last movie out this week, a movie starring the late Whitney Houston. It's a movie called Sparkle.
Make you want to dance, huh?
Get it, mama.
Mama gonna get it. And you will, too. Keep dancing like that, you bring home some kids you can't feed.
That's Tammy Anderson. She's smoking hot. She got two sisters, and they can all sing.
My name is Sticks.
Sparkle.
Think that's your song? You wrote that?
Only if you thought it was good.
Girl groups are hotter than ever right now. You should be together singing.
My mom used to sing professionally.
Maybe you be like your mama, never reach your goals. But don't fall short because you can't admit that you want it.
We're coming up next to the stage.
Just going out there and look pretty.
But this isn't what we rehearsed.
I know what I'm doing.
Sister and her sisters.
Where in the world did you get those church dresses?
Get this man a drink. He's gonna need one.
I have you booked all over the city.
Y'all are late.
What y'all doing in there?
My babies.
I know y'all don't love each other that much.
I see your beauty. I want to be your man.
This is Satin Struthers.
I'm looking for a new act to open up for my show.
When you see a train that's going to get you to where you're trying to go.
Wait a minute. Hey, leave my...
You got to jump on it.
Why was my life not enough of a cautionary tale for you?
We are close to getting a record deal.
Hell, if I had any sense, I'd be living off you.
He did that to you, didn't he? Why are you still gonna be a part of the group?
Shadows come.
People are trying to destroy what we built. You and me, we started this thing.
Why would the Lord give me this gift if I wasn't supposed to use it?
It takes a lot of faith to do this, Marco.
And a lot of the reviews say that Sparkle is melodramatic and old-fashioned, but there is pretty formulaic. Stars Jordan Sparks, and like I said, also stars Whitney Houston the late Whitney Houston, which is really weird to say. So let me read the synopsis here. Musical prodigy Sparkle, Jordan Sparks, struggles to become a star while overcoming issues that are tearing her family apart. From an affluent Detroit area and daughter to a single mother, Whitney Houston, she tries to balance a new romance with musical manager Styx, Derek Luke, while dealing with the unexpected challenges of her life. Her life will bring as she and her two sisters strive to become a dynamic singing group during the Motown era. So it's probably going to have some good music. I, you know, really wasn't on my radar. I mean, that's going to be interesting to see since this is the last Whitney Houston performance. So Sparkle, that's out this week. All right, let's move into our first musical break this week. I want to kind of plug my other little podcast. I'm starting up a podcast called The Geek Couch Backstage Pass. It's been in this feed, so you've seen a couple of them. The next one's going to be coming out in a couple of days here. So I'm going to be featuring a lot more bands on this other show that will be splitting off into its own podcast feed, probably after the new year once iTunes approves it. I'm waiting for them to approve the other feed. But I'm going to keep doing these musical breaks. Hope you guys like them. If you like these, I do a full-on show featuring new bands, independent bands, called The Geek Couch Backstage Pass. So, all right, this first band, the bands this week, they both have a split that these songs come from. The first band is called The Wild, and the song I'm going to play for you right now is called Street Names off of Solidarity Recordings. You're listening to the Geek Couch Collector's Edition podcast.
Take back what they've stolen when we realize
That was The Wild with the song Street Names. It's from the Split EP with Run Forever, who I'll be playing later. It's out on Solidarity Recordings. It's out right now. You can go to solidarityrecordings.bandcamp.com. You can find it there. Pretty good bands, so I hope you guys like them too. All right, let's move right into this week's Netflix Instant Picks of the Week.
Let me explain. No, there is too much. Let me sum up.
All right. So I got a few things of note this week. First up, I'm kicking myself because I had bought the Blu-ray set. I mean, only for $20, but I had bought the Blu-ray set. American Horror Story Season 1 is on Netflix Instant.
Welcome.
The Harmon family is starting over.
Moving here, buying this house was the exact right thing to do.
You're gonna die in here.
This October, the co-creators of Glee will have you singing a different tune.
Enjoy the house.
American Horror Story premieres Wednesday, October 5th on FX.
Now, I've only watched a couple episodes of American Horror Story, but I really appreciate the fact that this kind of weird, twisted drama is even on TV. But it's this really kind of dark and twisted, kind of haunted house drama, you know, soap opera is getting played out. There's a couple, their marriage is strained. The husband seems to be a serial cheater. And, you know, I've only seen the first couple episodes, but that's definitely played up on that, he moves in this house and, you know, weird things are going on. Poor guy can't seem to keep his dick in his pants. He's having a hard time being a one-woman man. So far, I really like it. I know a lot of people were expecting insane horror. It was just more kind of a weird, twisted, unsettling drama with some supernatural-type elements. But I really dig the acting in it. And, you know, Jessica Lange is in it. She's awesome. I believe Zachary Quinto shows up. I haven't seen him, though, in the show yet. But Evan Peters, Lily Rabe, Sarah Paulson, Joseph Fiennes, a lot of good actors. And really, I really dig the show. And I'm excited to check out season 2, which takes place in like a sanitarium. So this one is a haunted house. I really appreciate that American Horror Story as a TV series is kind of going the anthology route per season. I could really, really appreciate that. And it's on Netflix, and I highly recommend it so far. Some people kind of had mixed feelings on the season as a whole, but I think you just have to respect the fact that a show like this even exists. And, you know, from what I've seen so far, very well done. So American Horror Story out on Netflix Instant. Next, I just told you I bought Hugo for $12. And it's now out on Netflix Instant. Of course, this always happens to me. I buy something and then it comes out on Netflix Instant. But Martin Scorsese's 2011 film, Hugo, out right now on Netflix. Now, up till now, this is a film I haven't really been that interested in seeing. I know it came out the last holiday season. It came out in 3D. A lot of people praised Martin Scorsese's use of 3D. And the plot is like this. I mean, all of you have probably seen it, but when his father dies, a 12-year-old orphan, Hugo, takes up residence behind the walls of a Parisian train station. There he meets Isabelle, the daughter of filmmaker Georges Méliès, who holds the key to Hugo's destiny. You know, the movie just, I saw the trailers and even read reviews, a lot of people praising it, and I just really have had no desire at all to see it. I hear it's wonderful. A lot of people are praising the use of 3D and actually saying, oh, this is the only way to see it is in 3D. And since 3D gives me a migraine, I haven't really been wanting to see it. So I bought the Blu-ray that has the 3D version. So someday on someone's TV, I may be able to experience it just for the heck of it. But like I said, it's on Netflix Instant. So if you've been holding out like I have, you have no excuse anymore to at least see this film. And, you know, all those kind of snobby people that are saying, oh, you only need to see this in 3D, you know, I would say at least give this a shot. I mean, a movie should be able to work in 3D, but it also should be able to work in 2D as a story. And if a movie only works in 3D, then I don't think the director or writer did their job, because I think a 3D should enhance a movie, but not necessarily a movie shouldn't be dependent on 3D. And actually, speaking of 3D movies, I think Avatar looks even better on Blu-ray than it did when I saw it in 3D. So But like I said, story is huge. And even though Avatar is a spectacle, story is shit in that film. All right, how'd I get on Avatar? Next, here's another movie that I've been holding out on. I rented the disc, the Blu-ray disc, when it came out, and in 2010, I guess it came out on Blu-ray in 2011, but The King's Speech hits Netflix this week. This is a film that my father-in-law loved it. Britain's King George the VI struggles with an embarrassing stutter for years until he seeks help from unorthodox Australian speech therapist Lionel Logue in this biographical drama. You know, of course, tons of Academy Awards. This was much beloved. And a lot of times when a movie wins so many Academy Awards, I kind of skip it. Like, there's the movie The Artist that I haven't even seen yet. That got good Oscar buzz. But The King's Speech is out. I have no excuse not to watch it. I'm going to have to watch it now. I remember I started watching it with my wife, and we both got bored. So I'll have to give this another shot. But The King's Speech, out on Netflix Instant. And finally, I saw this. Had to mention it, but a Samuel L. Jackson and Luke Wilson action flick called Meeting Evil is out on Netflix Instant, and here, let me play the trailer for you guys.
This guy, he can kill anyone.
Then why didn't he kill you?
I don't know.
The witnesses all ID you, and you alone. Your house is being foreclosed.
Past due on all your credit cards, and you got fired from your job today. What does that sound like to you?
Bad luck?
Name's Richard.
You and me, we're in this thing together.
So what exactly is your interest in my business?
I'm the only person that hadn't given up on you, John.
How do you know my name?
What is it you really want?
I bet she does things your wife would never do.
Come on, one drink.
He wanted something from me, all right? He was pretending like he was my friend.
The guy who can do that, he's here. I say we go in there and kick his head inside out.
The world hurts people, John.
I'm doing everything I can.
What if that's not enough?
I come in after the hurt. Let's rip his throat out.
Just let me handle it.
All I do is kill people who are already dead.
Watch it!
Please, just stop. It's not a game anymore.
You ain't seen nothing. Stop trying to figure me out. Got my own idea.
Everything okay?
It's gonna kill my family. You get that?
We are in this together, John.
You're making me nervous.
I've been telling you the truth.
Evil
term. All right, right now it's holding, it holds a 13% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I'm not reading very good things about it. Like I said, stars Samuel L. Jackson and Luke Wilson. And it's directed by Chris Fisher. And what I've been reading about this is it almost should have been an over-the-top B-movie action flick. Because there are moments where they are so exaggerated that actually work. But however, since he is restrained as a director, the movie doesn't work. It just becomes a boring slog, is what I hear. So the synopsis is, when a stranger comes to his door seeking aid, Samuel L. Jackson, John, Luke Wilson, his generous nature leads him to become entangled in the man's lunatic spree of violence. By the end of the day, John must decide what acts he's willing to commit to protect his family. Anyway, for what it's worth, that's out. It's on Netflix Instant, and a lot of times I find I'm perusing Netflix Instant late at night after having a couple beers, so maybe this will be fun. I don't know. All right, and really quickly, expiring on Netflix Instant on December 1st. I mentioned these last week, but here's a few that I want to touch base with again. Big Lebowski is expiring. Breathless, a Richard Gere film, is expiring. And then two Al Pacino movies, Dog Day Afternoon and Donnie Brasco, both expiring on December 1st on Netflix Instant. So if you haven't seen those, definitely check them out. I'm a big fan of Dog Day Afternoon. So if you've never seen Dog Day Afternoon, definitely check it out. Really good. One of my favorite Al Pacino performances. All right, let's move into our second musical break here. This band, like I mentioned earlier, is called Run Forever. And they have a split EP with The Wild. You can get it on 7-inch, but it's also available on digital. Go to solidarityrecordings.bandcamp.com and find it there. I'll have links to these bands on the show notes, so you'll be able to check them out there. But right now, this is Run Forever on the Geek Couch Collector's Edition podcast. Was Run Forever with the song Silver Screens from the split EP with The Wild, available on Solidarity Recordings. And let's jump into this week's Blu-ray Collector's Edition Pick of the Week.
Hello, little guy. It's the sweetie man coming.
All right. So this week, this is a Blu-ray set that actually had to make a choice on what to buy, and it was a very tough choice. It was either spend, I think, $17 or spend $60. So I opted with the $17 version, and we'll talk about this right now. Lawrence of Arabia, and I talked about this the other week when it came out, and I ended up getting the Blu-ray, and, you know, first thing needs to be said is this restoration just looks incredible. I watched the movie, and it's not a short movie. It's about almost 4 hours long. But the movie is gorgeous, looks great on Blu-ray, and it is one of those movies that you wish, you know, you can see on a 70mm print. If this is playing somewhere near you, if the restoration is being played at a theater, and it's a gigantic 70mm screen, definitely check it out. I know that they've been doing kind of a road show with this. And so, you know, I got the $17 version and I'm really happy with it. I'm happy I saved some cash. And it does have a documentary on it, The Making of Lawrence of Arabia. It has a conversation with Steven Spielberg. It does have some special features on this. So if you're on a budget, I would definitely say, you know, you're not wasting your time on getting this. It's not a bare bones edition, which is nice that there are some things on it. However, if you have $60 to spend, which I did not, the box set is, I'm coveting it. On Blu-ray.com, it has a 5-star all across the board and everything. And it's one of those things, they really spent the time to make a very attractive collector set. It's a bigger box, has a book that comes with it. It comes with the soundtrack, which after hearing the movie, you know, hearing the soundtrack and everything, it's like, oh man, I wish I would have got this. It does have an extra disc featuring special features. Now, here's what I was confused about. On top of the actual special features that I mentioned, and I'm looking on Blu-ray.com right now, and I've been looking at this over trying to see, you know, what's on the special, the big old box set, and what, you know, and what I have. So it looks like there is an hour and 23 minute documentary from 2000 hosted by the Lawrence of Arabia property master, Eddie Fowley, as he journeys through the landscapes on which the classic film was photographed. So it's kind of a tour of the area that would be very interesting to see. I'm not sure if it was worth an extra, what, 30, 40 bucks. But so there is some special features here that might be worth, you know, checking out. If you find this at a discounted price, I mean, that's the most lengthy extra that I don't have, as opposed to, you know, the CD of the soundtrack. But the box looks great. It also comes with a collectible 70mm film frame, which is kind of cool. It is $64.96 on Amazon right now. But the movie's the same. Basically, you'd be spending, you know, I'd pay like, what, $18. And then, you know, you'd pay $65 to get the set for, you know, basically you're getting the collector set, a book, the CD, and an extra hour and a half special feature. So, but the thing is, like, this box set just looks so good. You know, if you're a collector like me, you're almost, it was a hard choice to make. And, you know, it's one of those things, if I find it for very cheap, like I did this week, I found Casablanca, this box set, for very cheap, for under $20. And if I picked that up, and normally that was like, you know, $60+ or something like that. So if I ever find this at a discounted price, I'll definitely double dip. And, so we'll see, you know, but it'll probably, with my luck, get out of print and I'll have missed my chance. But Lawrence of Arabia, either one I say is a good buy. You know, I'm not kicking myself for buying the cheaper version because it does have some special features on there. And like I said, the transfer is impeccable. It looks so good. And, you know, I was watching, Bridge on the River Kwai, and I haven't finished that one yet, but that's another restored old film. But that transfer is still not that good. Like, I don't know if the print just wasn't good, but Lawrence of Arabia's transfer just blows it out of the water. There's no DNR that I can tell, no edge enhancement. And that's the thing with Bridge on the River Kwai. I don't think there was any edge enhancement on that one either. And it was another 4K restoration. I just think they didn't have as good of a print. But, you know, I was comparing them both. Lawrence of Arabia's transfer on Blu-ray is very stunning. I mean, it's really, really good. I mean, there is the film grain there. They don't look waxy or anything like that. The landscapes look great. The color correction is just beautiful. So, and the movie's really good. I had never seen Lawrence of Arabia all the way through before. I had seen bits and pieces, whereas, you know, one week I'd watch, you know, the first hour, next week I'd watch, you know, and over the span of a year, I think I saw the whole film. But actually sitting down and watching it, for the whole, you know, gosh, what, 3.5 hours, almost 4 hours, throughout a day was a really great experience, and I highly recommend the film. It's no, you know, it's no surprise that this is a classic, and I'm glad I own it. And Peter O'Toole's acting is great. I love the character. And, you know, it's really funny, why, because I just watched Prometheus, about a week ago or a couple weeks ago when that came out, and watching Lawrence of Arabia after seeing Prometheus is pretty, surreal, because Michael Fassbender just does such a great impersonation of Peter O'Toole's character in Lawrence of Arabia, because the whole thing is, you know, all these, they've been in cryosleep for God knows how many years, and he's an android, so he's been awake this whole time. and he's been watching Lawrence of Arabia. I don't know if it's the only movie they have on file or what, but he's obsessed with Lawrence of Arabia and Peter O'Toole, and he dyes his hair blonde, and he acts exactly, especially at the beginning of the movie, acts exactly like Peter O'Toole. It's uncanny, kind of watching these one after another, because of Michael Fassbender is basically channeling Peter O'Toole. Really surreal, kind of watching these one after another. So, I would recommend it. I mean, doing that, pretty fun experiment. So, anyway, Lawrence of Arabia, definitely worth buying. Whichever version you buy, I would recommend it. So, all right, I've rambled enough about that. That's gonna do it for this week's show. You know, some good things to pick up this week, and have fun out there buying movies. Hope you find good deals on things. If you have any money left, like I said, after this weekend, we're probably all hurting. So we're probably all gonna have to wait until we find, you know, wait a couple weeks before we buy these. But all right, the Geek Couch Podcast, of course, brought to you by Charming Beard Coffee. Drop them a line on charmingbeard.com. Grab yourself some coffee. I'm working on getting some sort of discount code, so we'll see how that goes. But you know, it's good coffee if you're a coffee connoisseur. If you don't mind paying a little extra for your coffee and having good coffee, definitely a brand that you're going to want to check out. And small batch, single origin coffee beans, and really good. All right. Like I said, that's gonna do it for this week's show. Check out my other podcast. It's in this feed, the Backstage Pass podcast, as well as you'll see a few audio and music reviews I'm putting in this feed for now. Like I said, all the music stuff's gonna be split off as soon as iTunes approves the feed. So I'm waiting for them. So keep an ear out about that. I'll be letting you guys know when all that happens. Otherwise, have a great week, and I'll talk to all of you next week as we talk about more Blu-rays and stuff like that. All right. Have a great week. Bye.